and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of October 8th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and snowbound Melissa Hansen.
Not quite, but okay. We did it actually Friday up in Wisconsin. Woke up and everything had a little dusting of snow on it.
Yeah, it's that time of year.
It turned to rain, so the snow all melted, but then it turned to freezing rain. And then it turned back to rain, and then it turned back to snow, and then back to rain.
Jeez.
October in Wisconsin right now.
Yikes. Well, what has your weekend entertainment looked like?
So I got caught up on some of the, you know, season premieres of new shows. And I got caught up with the first few episodes of Glee.
Yeah.
Which Darren Criss is like one of the best things on television.
Yeah. He's good.
He's an amazing entertainer. He just did this beautiful in the last episode. His first song, his first time we saw him on Glee, he did Teenage Dream by Katy Perry.
That's right.
This whole big production with the whole, his Glee, whatever. It made him famous doing it. The last episode, he did this stripped down acoustic, heartbreaking version of it. Just beautiful. But other than that, Glee kind of sucks. The new kids are fine, but it's just, it's a mess.
Yeah.
Because you have half the characters in other cities, and you're really concentrating on Rachel and Kurt. So you're in New York with them, and then you're back in Ohio with the Glee Club. And then other characters are almost making, like, guest star appearances, and it's just a freaking hot mess.
Yeah, well, we knew that was going to happen, because Ryan Murphy does not have a track record of handling these types of things well, and deeper he gets into any series, the wheels start to come off, so.
But one of the new shows I've been watching,
yes,
The New Normal.
Oh, which is one of his as well.
Which is his new show.
Yeah.
And it is brilliant.
Really?
I love it. It's just, it's so cool. The main plot line is it's a young woman who, is, you know, was a teenage mom and her daughter's like 9 or something now, realizes her life is a hot mess.
Yeah.
And she puts her in the car and takes off and drives to LA.
Oh.
Kind of thing. And then she doesn't know what she's going to do. Well, she ends up becoming a surrogate mother for 2 gay guys.
Okay.
And it's funny. But it's got this heart to it. But the best part is Ellen Barkin plays her grandmother. The story is Ellen Barkin was a teenage mom. Her daughter was a teenage mom. Her granddaughter is not a teenage mom. So Ellen Barkin's like 50s and great-grandmother.
Okay.
But she's this right-wing, crazy, conservative bitch. And she follows them out there to take care of them. But so she's hanging out with these liberal gay guys all the time.
Yeah.
But there's this like heart to it. And her character is a bit of a caricature.
Okay.
But then all of a sudden you see these really beautiful moments with her. Hmm. She's not like this evil villain. Like you would think they'd make her, you know, on a sitcom.
Yeah.
It's really good. And Justin Bartha stars in it.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites and he's beautiful in it. So anyhow, I really, really like it. I hope Ryan doesn't tank this. Like,
okay.
His other shows start out so great and then tank. So
yeah,
it's a really excellent show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I took my nieces and nephew to go see Hotel Transylvania. I tried to convince them to see Frankenweenie, but they said no because they were too scared.
I'm so ashamed.
I know it. But I have to admit, this is the best Adam Sandler film movie in decades.
I don't know how much that's saying, but...
Well, it's an SNL film, but it's animated, okay?
Right.
One of the screenwriters is Robert Smigel.
Oh, nice.
Who did all the TV Funhouse spots and he was one of the chief writers on SNL for a long time.
Okay.
But it's Adam Sandler plays Dracula. And then you've got this, what he did is he built this hotel for monsters as kind of a safe haven.
Okay.
For them from persecution. And that happened after his wife was killed and his... by angry villagers, and he rescued his daughter. So he's basically a single parent.
Frankenweenie was going to be too scary.
Right, exactly. So he's basically a single parent raising his daughter, but keeping her sheltered from the human world. And of course, she's a teenager now, right? She's 118 years old. So she's a teenager, and played by Selena Gomez, who does a fantastic job with this.
Yeah.
Really nuanced vocal performance, really well done. And she doesn't sing songs in this, so it's even better.
Okay.
Well, I take that back. There is some singing at the end, but it's not like full-out musical numbers.
Right. That she wasn't cast for singing. She was cast for acting.
No. Okay. Her love interest is a young guy, young human guy who's like this, you know, surfer type free spirit who's backpacking across Europe and accidentally falls off a mountain and into the grounds of this hotel.
Oh, okay.
And played by Andy Samberg.
Oh, cute.
Which is not at all, I didn't realize it until the end credits that it was him because I didn't pick up on any of his regular shtick.
Oh, nice.
So, Yeah, but then,
I mean, I love his regular shtick, but that's nice that he can do something else, too. Yeah.
But the two of them playing off of each other, you would never guess, you know, the age difference between them because it was very heartfelt.
Yeah, that's a very weird casting.
Yeah. Right, and Adam plays this really, you know, talk about nuanced, this character is so leveled, and I was really amazed at just how heartfelt this film could be. And, of course, there's wacky humor because Kevin James plays Frankenstein. Steve Buscemi plays the Wolfman.
Nice.
David Spade plays the Invisible Man.
Of course.
John Lovitz plays the Hunchback.
Okay.
And CeeLo Green, who must be...
Lovitz, that's funny.
I know, John is just so great.
Okay, but CeeLo?
And CeeLo must be subbing for Chris Rock.
Oh, okay.
Because he plays the mummy in this. And I'm thinking, you know, this could have been a Chris role that he just decided he didn't have time for.
Yeah.
Fran Drescher plays the Bride of Frankenstein. Molly Shannon plays the Wolfman's wife. I mean, it's just all of these great vocal... Chris Parnell plays the fly. Just a lot of great vocal performances, a lot of great characters.
Okay. And how did the kids like it, though?
The kids loved it.
Okay, good.
There were quieter moments, you know, very parental moments, very emotional moments, but they were still, they never got fidgety. They were in it the entire time.
All right. That's
so
good.
Yeah, so it's great for Halloween. I highly recommend it. The director, well, here's another thing. The guy who did the music for this, Mark Mothersbaugh.
From Devo. He's been doing cartoon stuff, but he's done a bunch of Nick stuff, including Rugrats.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But the guy who is behind this and who's the director of this is Jendy Tartakovsky, who did Dexter's Lab, who did Samurai Jack.
Got it.
So there's this great, you know, this great vibe to it where it's crazy humor, but it's not that kind of over the top, like you were talking about, Nickelodeon type humor.
Mm-hmm.
So it still plays to adults and plays to kids. I'm impressed. So, in any case, it's done well at the box office, hasn't it?
It has. It's been out for a little bit, but
it's the third week.
I was wrong, and then I was right before because Taken 2 came in number one, but it made $50 million.
I know, it's crazy.
That's, we haven't had 50 in quite a while.
Yeah,
but then Hotel Transylvania, $26 million.
Yep.
So it's made 76 total. And then, yes, third, Pitch Perfect.
Which I've heard nothing but good things about.
I have not heard a single, even, like, mediocre thing about it.
Yeah.
So, but that came in third with not quite 15.
Okay.
And then Looper, just over 12 million.
Yeah.
And Frankenweenie with 11.5 million.
I'm heartbroken at this because all of the reviews are just glowing for this movie.
They are, and that's really bad. I mean, it's top five, but that's not... That is not a good take at all.
I'm going to see it this week, regardless. But I'm just, yeah.
And the other, I think, really big disappointment, The Perks of Being a Wallflower, made $1.5 million.
Oh, my God.
It got beat by Finding Nemo.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that, it's made just over $3 million total. That is not good. That is pretty sad. But I haven't seen this really advertised and really out there.
No, they haven't.
Yeah. Like, I've been looking for it, so I knew it was coming out, but Yeah. It's just kind of got lost.
I think we're getting to the point now where there's going to be certain films that are going to do so much better on DVD and streaming.
That's true. That's true. I mean, yeah, it's not like all is lost.
Yeah. We shall see. Well, this coming week is kind of a mixed bag. Argo, Ben Affleck's Argo, which I had a brief flirtation of being involved with. I was supposed to have a much bigger involvement, but we won't go into that because it just didn't work out. Yeah. But I shot one day on it, and I'm curious to see how the film plays out because it is one of those... It's a dramatic retelling of the Iran hostage crisis.
It sounds so interesting. And it's a story like I didn't really realize or remember, at least.
Well, and I don't think it's a story that was told very, very much, but there was a group of hostages that were kind of sheltered away, or, you know, group of embassy staff that were sheltered away in the Canadian embassy and hidden by the Canadian ambassador. And they actually got them out by pretending, by the CIA going in and pretending that these people were part of a film crew that was making a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, it was kind of, they went in like we're a film crew, and then they walked out like with these extra people and no one noticed kind of thing.
Right.
It's really kind of fascinating story. We'll see how it translates to the screen.
Yeah, and we know Ben has done really well with The Town and Gone Baby Gone.
His direction is great. I mean, I think he really found his niche.
Yeah.
With the directing. And George Clooney and Grant Heslov produced this.
Yes. So there's some credibility right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm curious to see how it plays out, especially since it played at Toronto and then Ben recut the ending based on feedback from the former Canadian ambassador who was part of this.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it's going to be pretty accurate.
I guess so.
Wow. And the cast is quite... Ben stars in it.
Yes.
Of course. Well, not of course. He wasn't in Gone Baby Gone. But then you have Bryan Cranston.
Yep.
Who... you know, has shown himself just to be an extraordinary actor. But Alan Arkin, John Goodman, Victor Garber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some good stuff in here.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. We talked about Kevin James. He's got a new movie out called Here Comes the Boom, which was previewed in front of Hotel Transylvania, of course. But he's a kind of slacker teacher.
Right.
Who his school district is about to cut loose all of their arts programs.
Mm-hmm.
And he stands up to say, no, we can't do this. But in order to save them all, he has to raise $48,000. And the best way he can think of doing this is by becoming a participant in mixed martial arts competition.
Oh, my.
So
it sounds like such a feel-good, like Mr. Holland's Opus there you were going with. And then... Ay, ay, ay.
So you get to watch Kevin half naked getting the snot beat out of him in the ring.
Excellent.
Yep. But it's a heartwarming tale, you know? It's the underdog.
Sure.
Underdog. I don't know if there's heartwarming in this, but a movie called Seven Psychopaths.
Oh, yeah. It sounds really, really heartwarming right there.
So it's a
lovey-dovey.
It's a screenwriter and his oddball friends in L.A. who steal a gangster's shih tzu.
Oh, well, of course. Because any other dog breed would not be as funny.
Right. They deal with the ramifications.
Okay.
And then, of course, it's Halloween season, so we've got two horror movies coming out this week. We've got Sinister. Now, stop me if you heard this before, right? So there's a writer who moves into a murder house, you know, a house where a murder was taking place. And he discovers found footage that helps him unravel the mystery.
Stop.
It's like four different movies rolled into one. And then, of course...
This is Ethan Hawke.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh, it stars Ethan Hawke.
I didn't realize that.
Doing, like something totally different.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. And then we have the next slasher. So you've got Freddy, you've got Jason, you've got Leatherface, and now we've got Smiley.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a dude who has no facial features, just like a big hunk of flesh for a face, but in that hunk of flesh is carved a smiley face.
Ew.
And he goes around murdering people.
Ew. And I'm more creeped out about the, like, smiley face than the murdering, actually.
Exactly.
All right, you all let me know how that one is.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll make $2.3 million next week.
Yep.
If you are not going to the box office, you want to see what's coming to DVD and Blu-ray, you can head over to DVDverdict.com and check out the DVD releases page. Biggest, of course, is Prometheus, which is Damon Lindelof and Ridley Scott's prequel to the movie Alien, which wasn't a prequel, and then it was a prequel, and then it turns out it actually was, but everybody already knew the surprise before they got to the movies anyways.
Right. Yeah, that all whole thing worked out really well.
It's a movie I loved, but most people hated.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently one of the bonus features on the Blu-ray ties the film not only into Alien, which we saw in the theatrical release, but in this bonus feature, it ties it to the Blade Runner universe as well.
Nice.
So Guy Pearce's character was mentored by Dr. Tyrell, who is the guy who created the replicants in Blade Runner.
Okay.
Which then turns out to be an early prototype for Michael Fassbender's character in Prometheus.
Alrighty then.
So there you go. A film I can live without ever seeing again, E.T., is coming to Blu-ray this week.
Aww.
Oh, I know. It's one of those things that it's just, it's too much. I think it's too saccharine sweet.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's E.T., and he wants to phone home.
And yet.
He eats Reese's Pieces, and oh, it's Little Bitty Drew Barrymore.
Man, it's so 80s. It's so totally
how could you not
80s.
Want to watch Little Bitty Drew Barrymore?
God, before she became a drug addict, or was she still going through rehab at this point when she was 6 or 7 years old?
I don't know. She was probably well on her way.
Other big movies coming out this week, Rock of Ages, which you saw.
Oh, yeah, it's horribly bad, but totally fun.
How about this one? Hitchcock's Dial M for Murder in 3D.
What is 3D about that?
I don't know. Was it theatrically released in 3D? I don't think so. Hitchcock wouldn't have done a 3D movie.
No.
And what about this movie would be...
And how would you make that 3D? I mean, why?
It takes place in an apartment.
There's like a fight scene and stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. She like stabs the guy and he's attacking her. Like whatever kind of stuff.
It's a great movie. I don't know.
That's kind of pointless.
Frank Oz's film adaptation of Howard Ashman and Alan Menken's cult classic musical, Little Shop of Horrors.
Nice.
With the original theatrical ending. If you've ever saw this off-Broadway or done in community theater or whatever, everybody dies. I'm going to ruin this for everybody. Everybody dies.
Yeah, you need to say the spoilers before you say it, not after.
But in Frank Oz's original film version...
Yeah.
You know, Rick Moranis plays the hero.
Right.
So he saves. Yeah. But apparently Frank shot a 20-minute ending that mirrors the original Broadway production.
That'd be fun to see.
So that's included on this. And I guess there was some controversy about it. Was it included? Well, it's all over the packaging. I mean, I just sent it out to Mac for review, and it's big on the back. It's big on the front. It says it includes the director's cut with this ending. So... a movie I did not see, which was in and out of the theaters in the blink of an eye, John Cusack plays Edgar Allan Poe as an amateur detective in The Raven.
Yeah, that did not do much.
No. And then we've got the original Red Dawn with Patrick Swayze and C. Thomas Howell on Blu-ray.
Of course. Yeah, that's got to be coming out, because the new one.
With Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
Right.
Heading over to streaming media on Netflix, there is a boatload of indie and B-grade horror films from every decade you can possibly imagine descending upon Netflix this week.
Of course. That's what it's going to be all month, so.
Including Telly Savalas as Satan in 1975's House of Exorcism.
Alrighty.
So there's going to be stuff that you've never seen that's going to be out here. So.
Yeah, they're going to pull everything out now.
Yeah. Let's see. Disney Channel's modern version of Cyrano de Bergerac, Let It Shine. I don't know if you've got kids who want to see something like that, go for it. Sacha Baron Cohen's Bruno.
Oh, okay.
Don Cheadle's Hotel Rwanda.
Ooh.
And Mario Bava, who is like the king of Italian giallo horror, did a Viking epic in 1966 called Knives of the Avenger.
Okay, then.
Which has got to be a Dave Johnson right up his alley type movie.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So there's that over at Hulu. If you've ever wondered what happened to ER's Eric LaSalle, well,
no, not really.
He's starring in a
Tell me anyhow.
He's starring in a psychological thriller opposite fellow TV veterans Stephen Weber and Kate Walsh called Inside Out.
Okay, then.
If you want vintage Hollywood comedy, 1942's Tales of Manhattan, starring, get this lineup, Rita Hayworth, Ginger Ooh. Rogers, Ooh. Edward G. Robinson,
okay.
Henry Fonda, and we're talking comedy here,
yeah,
Charles wow. Boyer, and then Jack Benny's sidekick, Rochester.
Nice. Nice.
I got to check it out just to see how those people actually interact with each other. If you're continuing vintage films, Betty Grable's star-making performance in 1944's The Pinup Girl. And then we've got vintage thriller from director Elia Kazan, 1950's Panic in the Streets, starring Richard Widmark and Barbara Bel Geddes, who would go on to be Miss Ellie Ewing on Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got an Elvis movie that I have never, ever heard of before.
Okay.
1960's Native American-themed Flaming Star.
I missed that, too. Wow.
Finds the king torn between two worlds of his white father and his native Kiowa Indian mother.
I kind of buy that, actually.
It co-stars Barbara Eden and Dolores Del Rio.
Okay.
So, here's something I'm going to check out just for the novelty of it. I don't think I've ever sat through an entire Elvis film.
Really?
Yep.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Call yourself an American. He went to war to fight for our country.
No, he didn't. He went to war to get drugs to deal with his problems.
Okay, then. All right, moving on before we get letters.
All right. Take it, TV. Go for it.
Okay, well, we still have a whole bunch of season premieres coming up the rest of this month. And this week on October 8th, it's CW Night with 90210 and Gossip Girl. So I guess it's also Drunken Naked Women, right? October 10th, still on the CW, it's Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
And then on NBC, we have Chicago Fire. And ABC has Nashville. On the 11th, it's CW Night again. So I guess it's kind of CW Week. But The Vampire Diaries is back. And then Beauty and the Beast is premiering. And then next week on October 14th, The Walking Dead is back on AMC. So, you know, a bunch of...
And the first two seasons are now available on Netflix if you need to get caught up, because I have not watched any of it yet.
I haven't. It's something I, you know, it's not really my thing, but from what my friends have said, I think I may.
Yeah.
Kind of at least check it out, see if I can handle it. So, but in music this week, it's kind of oldies with new goodies.
Oh.
Kiss. Kiss has a new album called Monster.
I didn't know that Gene and Paul Stanley were still talking to each other.
So, and then Barbara Streisand has a new album called Relief.
Shut.
It's actually not new stuff. It's stuff like from the vault.
Oh.
Like kind of unreleased stuff throughout the years that they found. And they're releasing now, so it's called Release Me. Rick Springfield has a new album. Songs for the End of the World. Glad All Over is the latest from the Wallflowers.
Oh, my God.
Anything in ears. And then Suzanne Vega is releasing Close Up Volume 4, Songs of Family this week. And then completely unrelated to everything else, but I wanted to mention it because I think some of our writers will be picking up for their children.
What?
Not time to listen to, I'm sure, but Yo Gabba Gabba. So awesome, Volume 4.
Nice.
Is out this week. And in books, I'm going to call him the Kardashian of my book segment.
Uh-oh.
Because I talk about him not every week, but pretty darn close.
James Patterson.
And Marshall Karp this time have a new book called NYPD Red. And Stephen King has one. It is only an ebook. Which is like the last one he released.
Wow.
It's short story, but this is just an ebook. It's called In the Tall Grass, and it's actually written with author Joe Hill.
Who's that?
It's actually his son.
Oh.
It's Joe King, but his
pen name?
Pen name is Joe Hill.
Interesting.
Oh, because he kind of wanted to do it. Well, Stephen King started out under a pen name, like, and was releasing stuff and didn't want people to know it was him and whatever. So anyhow, yeah, Stephen King and his son have just an ebook called In the Tall Grass.
Interesting.
And then a couple auto and biographies. Pete Townsend, Who I Am.
Nice.
Quite some interesting tales in there. And then speaking of Barbara Streisand, William Mann has a book called Hello Gorgeous, Becoming Barbara Streisand.
Oh boy.
Biography on her. And Stanley Tucci, one of my more favorite actors, who has done a couple food-themed movies, like Big Night.
Oh, great movie.
And then Julie and Julia.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has a cookbook out.
Wow.
The Tucci cookbook. And Mario Batali did the foreword to it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And in theater news this week, big congrats to one of my favorite actors, Audra McDonald.
Oh, she just got married, right?
She just got married to another Broadway actor, Will Swenson. They've been together for a while, and they live together. They got married October 6th at their home in New York, and she has a daughter, and he has a couple sons.
Okay.
So they're combining their family. So congratulations and best wishes to them.
Very nice.
Yep. So that's the pretty news. I'm sure we have ugly news in Hollywood.
Well, the apocalypse is nigh, right? Because Seth MacFarlane is hosting the Oscars this coming year.
Seriously? This, I don't even know.
So they didn't.
I don't want to see it. I just don't want to see him do this. I don't want to see it.
So they didn't learn from Brett Ratner and Eddie Murphy, which the debacle, you know, devolved before it even hit the stage. And now they're going to bring Seth on to do the show. I don't know. I'm not a big Family Guy fan, and we'll see. You know, he can be funny, but I don't know. My former neighbor in Marina Del Rey, Katie Sackhoff, is headlining the new Females Expendable movie.
Oh,
alongside,
nice.
Yeah, alongside
I like w- it.
Alongside WWE's Gina Carano.
Okay.
Who,
I wouldn't know.
She did a movie just recently, and it's off. I can't remember what the name of it is. But people were saying, hey, there's the next Wonder Woman, or, you know, this chick is going to be really big in action films.
Okay, cool.
This could be something. I think the biggest story of the week was the debate between Obama and Romney, where Mitt came out and said it in no uncertain terms that he will pull the plug on PBS and NPR if elected.
Yeah, he thought it said, well, he'll pull the federal funding, which is only part of the funding, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
Big Bird fans got pissed.
Ooh, and I guess Big Bird showed up on Saturday Night Live this past weekend.
So, but I couldn't believe... I was not watching the debate. I was watching Twitter.
Yeah.
And, like, fired Big Bird, had an account within, like, 5 minutes.
Oh, nice.
And had, like, 20,000 followers, like, by the end of the evening.
So great.
It was excellent.
Well, the pervasive weirdness across the Hollywood landscape continues because Buffy fans know Jonathan Levinson well as one of the one-third of the geek triumvirate.
Mm-hmm.
But this character actor, Danny Strong, has turned writer in a big way. His script, he wrote the script for The Butler, which is being directed by Lee Daniels, who did Precious. And has an all-star cast. It's about a butler who served, I don't know, 6 or 7 different presidents in the White House.
Yeah,
and this is expected to be one of the biggest films of the fall season.
Yeah.
Well, he's parlaying that success into adapting the third book of The Hunger Games into 2 movies.
I know. How cool is that? That is huge. That is a huge job.
And it's not like he has a huge writing history before this. I mean, The Butler was his first major screenplay. So good for him, you know?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, really quite amazing.
We talked about Blade Runner briefly. Another Blade Runner connection here. Rutger Hauer is joining the cast of True Blood for season 6.
That's perfect.
So there's another show I have not watched a single episode of. So I'll have to get caught up on that at some point.
That's not one I got to either.
And then the last ugly piece of news, American Idol, or someone associated with the show, leaked some footage of a heated exchange between Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey. A very violent verbal exchange between the two of them, with poor old Keith Urban sitting between them.
Yeah, that poor boy. I mean, he's at home with, like, cute little soft-spoken Nicole Kidman. And now he's sitting between these two crazy bitches.
Well, as it turns out, the story is that this was all a big publicity stunt.
That's what everybody else is saying.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. Because the show did not do well last season. And they're looking to make some waves. So right. Especially competing with Simon Cowell's X Factor and all the other reality TV competition shows like The Voice and everything else that's on. So you think you can dance. You know, American Idol isn't the only kid on the block anymore.
No.
But
so who cares? And whether that's real or not, whatever.
All right. That's all I've got.
All right. Well, speaking of all those shows, TMZ is reporting that it's going to be Chloe. We mentioned this before, but hosting X Factor. But she's going to be doing it with Mario Lopez.
Oh.
That they're going to be they're going to have co-hosts for it.
Well, he annoys the shit out of me. I'm sorry.
So we'll see, because we're going to go to the live stuff with the hosts in a few weeks.
Okay.
So we'll see how it does. But yeah, that's what's being reported. So. They must have worked out the problems with E, because that was part of the holding back.
Oh,
she's under contract with E.
Got it.
So to get, you know, do a contract with another station.
Yeah.
So anyhow, it'd be interesting to see them together. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
A few million
wow,
people turn.
Tragic news for Kardashians.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm sure next week we'll have something completely horrible to tell you.
And until that time, you can check us out at DVDverdict.com. We appreciate you guys spending some time going through our reviews and checking out the upcoming releases page. But until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
I'm going to say goodbye today. Going away, hey. Goodbye today. I'm going to say goodbye today.